Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Andy Troy Show, where you can sample all the great things New York has to offer. For the next 60 minutes, I'll not only clue you into some great things to do around town, but we'll also chat with some interesting local personalities. Tonight's guests are dating coaches Alexander Prime and Sebastian of PUA Training and Craig Miller of the Gotham Dating Club. But first, our shameless plugs. For those of you who haven't read my anti-aging book, Living Young, 32 Habits of Ageless People, there's no time like the present. It's always the right time to stay young and get healthy. Also, if you're going to live a long time, you might as well enjoy it. So check out my DVD, The Bedroom Workout for Men, on how to improve men's sexual performance through exercise. Both are available on Amazon.com and my website, AndyTroy.com. Remember that if you bring my book to any of my events, I will be happy to autograph it for you. Speaking of which, our next event will be our 6th annual Halloween party on Friday, October 28th from 6 to 10 p.m. at Taj Lounge, located at 48 West 21st Street between 5th and 6th Avenues. We'll have a costume contest with valuable prizes, including an all-inclusive Poconos vacation worth over $1,000. We'll also feature a performance by the infamous singing vampire, Baron Mizoraka. Admission is free. There'll be lots more surprises. It'll be a great night, so come join us. The details for this and all my monthly events are on my website, tastingnyc.com. The Andy Troy Show has a fan page on Facebook that contains links to previous shows, as well as pictures of all our past guests. Check it out by punching The Andy Troy Show into your Facebook browser. If you haven't heard my Animal Rescue song, Hoping for Another Morning, you can both hear the song and see the video by going to YouTube and punching Hoping for Another Morning into the browser. My good friend and producer John Anello, a.k.a. Johnny Mandolin, has a CD called La Voce Mia. Order your copy today at johnnymandolin.com or call E. Rossi at 212-226-9254 and they'll hook you up. Finally, sponsors, we want them. If you'd like to promote your goods and or services to our vast listening audience, contact the station or me directly at andyftroy@aol.com. Okay, we've got an old friend and some new friends here, and an audience looking on. What are we doing? We're doing a radio show. I may interview you later, so think about your answers. Okay, we've got Craig Miller, who was on the show about a month or so ago before he did a dating conference, which he was nice enough to invite me to. Craig, how we doing?
Hey, Andy, how's it going? I'm good.
I have to say I was most impressed by the fact that not everything went smoothly at the conference in terms of some people not making it, and yet you never seem to get ruffled.
Oh, thanks. It's my second year doing it, and last year everything went perfect, so I wasn't sure I'd be, you know, ready to take on any problems that happened. But I guess I just was quick on my feet, and things went all right, and the people who came were forgiving for the mistakes.
Now, do you think that kind of unflustered attitude, which I think you kind of showed there, helps you in the way that you handle women? Is that similar? Is that why you're successful partially?
You know, it's a good question. I never thought of it that way. Possibly. You definitely, if you want to reach a certain level of success with women, you definitely have to be good at thinking on your feet.
And just not seeming rattled. I mean, I've been out with you a couple of times, not on a date, I want to make that plain, but no, I've been out watching Craig himself do his thing with women, and he seems to be just very calm and in control and never gets ruffled.
Yeah, that's a lot of practice. I've been doing whatever you've seen for 5 years, so it wasn't like I came up with it yesterday.
Do we have videos of you screwing up in the beginning? Because those would be fun to watch.
No, but I still screw up now if you want to see.
Yeah, so let's get the outtakes and make a video. Okay, well, I want to bring in our new friends. The guys from PUA Training, I believe, is your company, right? We have Alex.
Yeah, how you doing, Andy?
Okay. And we have Sebastian, I believe, is your partner.
Right? Hey, what's up, man?
Okay. So how did you guys hook up, by the way?
Funny story, actually. I was doing a speech, a free speech in New York City, I'd say, what do you think, 2 years ago now?
Maybe, yeah.
And Sebastian and I started talking, and we just kind of got along. The dating community is a very interesting community, and it's tough to meet people you really mesh with, but we started hanging out, and I'd say we're best friends today, so.
Definitely, yeah. There's very few people that you meet in this community that right off the bat you know are someone that you could not only go out with as friends, but that you have a style that would mesh with. And Alex and I really get along really quickly, so I started learning the PUA training program, and very soon I started teaching it.
Now, where would you guys say most men go wrong with women?
Ooh, that's one of my favorite questions ever, and this is something I've been thinking a lot about lately. Where do most men go wrong is the hardest thing to teach, actually. Everyone in their head has this image of what a smooth guy looks like, what someone who's good with women looks like, and how he acts. But unfortunately, that image is wrong. So when you're teaching them the right way is very slow, very boring, very normal. They have a tough time understanding that, so there's an internal conflict that stops them from acting in the correct way.
Now, I did go to that seminar. I was an observer there for the press.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I remembered you said that I kind of liked is, you know, you get these guys and they're telling you body language, what to say, where to go, how to move your eyes, everything all at once. And like, who's going to get all that down at one time?
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of said you got to master one thing at a time, right?
Yeah, to take it even further than that, I'm a very big believer in what's called the 80-20 principle. 80% of your results come from 20% of your efforts. I think when it comes to human interactions, there's so many variables out of our control that if you can find the few things that if you focus on will get you big results, that's the easiest way to proceed.
Now, all of you guys, did you guys have a mentor? Because I know a lot of guys who I heard speak at the conference had someone who kind of like clued them into what to do, and they in a lot of cases ended up in their business as well. Like Craig, did anybody, who was the person that kind of got you going?
You know, I read so much, but I would say the things that had the biggest impact were the people I worked with in person.
Oh, so you didn't really have like a guy who took you under his wing, so to speak?
I had a couple guys, and I really like compared my experience there to my experience like when I was learning ice hockey. I think anything you want to get really good at, you know, you should probably learn, you're going to learn a couple different things from a couple different people. I think there's going to be a point where you hang out with one person a certain amount of time where you're like, I've tapped all the big amount of knowledge I can get out of them. At least, you know, like you might hit that 80-20 rule where you're like, I've gotten 80% of the knowledge out of this person, and move on to the next.
Unfortunately, I have 20% of the knowledge, but that's another story. So, you two guys, do you have anybody who kind of schooled you, who took you under their wing, or?
Yeah, I'm actually, I was very fortunate in that I met Adam
Lyons. I taught you everything I know.
Yeah, thank you. I was lucky enough to meet Adam Lyons, who number one dating coach, and I believe still number one pickup artist in the world. About 4 years back, and now today, I view him first and foremost as one of my very best friends, but also a mentor.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about you, Sebastian?
I had pretty much a different experience, I think, than most people who kind of fell into this community, where early on I was getting, before I kind of found this community, I was getting actually pretty good results. It was like about the time that I came in, suddenly my dating life became really difficult. And then Alex introduced me to Adam, who runs our program, and basically like he kind of like retooled everything I was thinking. And I think most of the stuff that I do now is based on, pretty much everything I do now is based on.
You have
on
to retool, because a lot of these guys are tools, so that is important. So now, what successful pickup can you guys tell me that you're proud of? Can you give me an example?
For me, that's that's fairly easy.
Okay.
A year and a half ago, Miami.
I like them easy, by the way.
A year and a half ago in Miami, a playmate of the month was in the nightclub I was at. That night, we ended up going back to my place, and it was really nice to wake up next to that, especially when all my friends saw, so they all believed me.
I've woken up next to that many times, and then I get a paper cut, and it's really unfortunate.
Awesome.
I have to move the magazine off the bed, but
it's the staples you need to watch out for.
That is true. So what about you, Sebastian? You have any success story that will impress me?
I think probably my most impressive was at the same time, both off a cold approach, I picked up a stripper and her girlfriend. They were like together for a while, and then we kind of had a relationship for about 3 months where the three of us were sleeping together. And this was like at the very beginning of my learning.
So you had a relationship with a stripper for several months?
For several months, and a girlfriend, yeah.
I did that too until I ran out of singles. It's a sad story. So Craig, you talk to us. Who did you meet that you were impressed with?
I guess I don't really stack up to the other guys. I didn't know that until now, although I did know your story. You know, I'd just say, like, you know, I don't know if the girls have any credentials or accomplishments, but, you know, there's definitely girls that I've been with who, you know, I'm like, these girls are hot.
Okay, now, what's everybody's ideal woman? Like, what are you guys looking for? And what should we be looking for?
Well, for me, my ideal woman is different. Definitely different than everyone else. I consider myself first and foremost a nerd. So if I feel like I'm the only human being alive who says this, but if I can't speak to her about what's going on in the economy and about finance, like the financial markets, it literally will never work.
Like I said, singles.
But yeah, I think that's just me. From all the students I've worked with, it seems to be a bit different. Most of them tend to be looking for someone to have fun with and someone with similar interests. It just doesn't happen to be finance.
Now, what's the experience that made you guys think of this as a career? Like, what made you say, I got to do this?
What's really funny, when I first got involved in this, I told myself I would never, ever teach this. I literally fell into it. I was learning from my friend Adam, and he would teach people, and I went along, and then very slowly it ended up being me teaching and him kind of watching me teach. So it really was an accident. I'd say a very positive accident, though.
Okay. And Craig, did you expect at any point to be doing, like, when did you say, this is something I can actually make a living out of?
I would say maybe, I thought I could make a living out of it a lot longer ago, maybe about a year ago, and it was really tough to get off the ground. It's doing a lot better now, but, you know, the first time I thought it was probably a year and a half ago. But, you know, kind of like he was saying, I felt the same way, that I was never going to do it, and I ended up doing it.
Now, I know that Craig, when he was on last time, said he got, like, no action until he was 21, right? Like, at all.
That's true.
Yeah. Now, what about Alex? How were you growing up? Did you do well with women, or seemed like a good-looking guy?
I have to admit, you know, I had a good-looking girlfriend or two, but completely by accident. As good-looking as they were three times as crazy. So I guess that was the trade-off I took, because that was the best I could get. And while it was fun, it was also very painful and annoying at the same time.
That's a crazy one to a good-looking. That's why I got a psychology degree, by the way. But you can lose your license. That's the only problem if you actually mess around with the patients. Okay. So how long have you guys been... Okay, we're actually going to have to go to a break in a minute. Betty's tired of my humor. But when we get back, I want to hear a success story from each of you guys on somebody you trained who turned around and was then, you know, the 98-pound weakling who became Charles Atlas. We'll be back in a minute.
Hi, this is Marianne Morrison. Join me, uncensored and live, with entertaining and provocative guests from celebrities to world-renowned entrepreneurs with hot topics and hot talk. Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. High Definition Digital Radio, broadcasting to the world. Only on the Chandani Broadcasting Network. Chandani.
Hello, my name is Anthony Teresa, owner and producer of Blue Night Recording Studio in beautiful Orange County, California, just outside Los Angeles. As a guitarist, vocalist, bassist, session player, producer, and engineer, I have either played or recorded on over 400 CD projects. Let me tell you, it's not easy to record your own music. My goal is to help you to be the best you can be behind the mic and in the tracking room. We'll get the best possible sounds from your voice and instruments. Do you need musicians? I've got them. The top session players in Southern California and Los Angeles. Let's make your recording project a reality. You can contact me by phone at 949-338-0293. That's 949-338-0293. Or contact me an email at catduo@earthlink.net. Looking forward to hearing from you. Take care and have a great week.
Okay, we're back. So, okay, let's start with Alex. Who would you say you worked with where they turned around and went from a guy who couldn't meet women and did something like really impressive that you saw?
This is actually my favorite question ever, because this is the best part of my job. I worked with a guy, I'd say 35 to 40. He was a dentist, and he must have weighed 275, 300. He had a wife for 10 years who he found out was cheating on him. They got a divorce. Since then, he couldn't get any girls. He came on one of our seminars. I worked one-on-one with him. After, he would send us the text that women would send him, and they're like, we want to rub ourselves on your belly. And it was incredible because this guy was so nice. You knew he had all the qualities of a good person. He was successful. He just couldn't seem to pick it up in this area. And yeah, that was really satisfying. And he gave me like a big hug, which is something that normally doesn't happen, but it was very cool.
Okay, Sebastian.
I'll never forget, I think the first time that I realized how powerful this could be, there was a kid at one of our courses. His name was Bo, and he was a big, sweaty, overweight dude, and he was really having problems even like starting a conversation. We have a guarantee on our courses that every student will close on the first night. So I had to get him talking to a girl. I had to get him like into an interaction. And I think it took about 6 hours until he finally met a little Asian girl who they had so much in common, and they ended up spending the next like 3 hours together until like 7 o'clock in the morning.
So we finally met her at 4 a.m.
Yeah, it was about 4.
This is what I like. These are the women I'm looking for, the ones who just get going at 4 a.m.
Pretty much.
I guess it's not hard to get them to bed when it's actually bedtime.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You know, okay. If she's out at 4 a.m,
that she's got no place to go.
Exactly.
That's why I tend to go for homeless women, because, you know, it's easy to get them to go home with you.
you're hedging your bets, exactly.
That's right. So, Craig.
I don't think I really have one. I mean, what I do more is, you know, put on these events and organize these things. So I don't really work with people one-on-one like Alex and Sebastian do.
Someone just wrote in, he sounded like a blind date of mine. Laugh out loud. Well, maybe if the guy's still available, we'll hook him up with this, I'm assuming, lady.
Awesome.
Okay. Now, how do you guys market yourselves? We kind of know how Craig does through these dating seminars, I guess. Like, what do you guys do?
We're actually lucky enough to work for one of the largest dating companies in the world. So we have a whole marketing team that takes care of that. I guess one thing I like to do is whenever we travel to different cities, if time allows, doing free speeches for what they call the local layers of guys trying to learn dating skills. So I'd say let the marketing team handle it and then add as much free value as I possibly can to the guys.
Okay, now when you say the number one company, is this guy Adam Lyon's company?
It's known as PUA Training, and it's owned by a guy named Gambler. That's his stage name. But Adam Lyon's runs the American team, department, whatever you want to call it.
So this is a worldwide company?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so how much traveling do you guys have to do with this?
That's the best part of the job. Easily the biggest part. I have the option to travel 3-4 times a month if I want, every weekend to a different city, all over America, all over Europe, Korea, Africa. It's pretty amazing.
Now, how is it? Have you been to a lot of these places?
Yeah.
Now, how do they vary in terms of what kind of group of guys you get and what sort of what the women are looking for? Give me, like, what's a place you went that was really kind of exotic?
Ooh. I'd say my favorite was Amsterdam.
Amsterdam. Well, that's not as out there as, like, Korea or something, which is really a different culture. But, okay, Amsterdam. What was – so were these guys from that country, or did people travel there for this seminar?
It was mostly guys from that country.
Okay. Is there any language barrier problems in these countries?
I haven't been to a country that has that problem. I did mostly America and Europe. So, as you know, in Europe, most people speak English. And okay. We run our seminars in English, so every guy who comes on the course at least is mildly fluent, hopefully.
Now, does it vary what works with women from country to country, would you say?
Other than cultural differences, everything seems to be the same from both the students and the girls. There are certain principles of human interaction that, from what I've seen, are consistent all around.
Oh, okay. What do you think, Sebastian? What's the story? And have you traveled much with this yourself? Let's hear about that.
I've traveled mostly in the U.S.
Okay.
I would say the biggest thing I've noticed is a lot of what we teach in our courses is very much relating to the woman. So in a way, the woman is leading a lot of the interaction by what she's about and what her identity is. So the way that we're teaching to sort of be, we're teaching how to be fluid and how to be able to relate to her, whoever she is. So it almost doesn't matter in a way, because if you can learn to relate to someone, no matter who she is, you can learn to relate to her world.
Okay, so it's kind of one size fits all, basically. Everybody, what you teach to someone in America is the same thing that they would want to use in, you know, Angola, basically. If you're looking for Angolan women at any point, which...
Exactly, which a lot more people than you would know are.
Really?
Exactly, yeah. We get so many people on the courses who are always like, you know, Angolan women, that's what I'm looking for. It is a universal skill, though. I think once you learn sort of the ability to find commonalities with someone and the ability to relate to someone and understand their feelings and their life, it's something that you can use with almost anyone.
Now, Craig, can you give us a little more of a recap of the dating conference? Because I was there for the first 2 days, and but again, I'm on the outside looking in. What was it like putting something like that together, and how did it vary from what you expected? Was it successful? All that kind of stuff.
I feel like this is more of a business question than anything else, but you know, it's pretty easy to bring people in to talk. You know, people definitely want to talk. It's just if their schedules match up or not. And I actually moved the event from when it was last year to this year to get some people, you know, who are available who could talk. You know, we had some people step out last minute, and Alex was, you know, one of the great guys who came in. He sent me like a last minute text that he would love to talk, and I was like, that's awesome. And it just worked out perfectly. Other than that, it's just making sure everybody knows about it so they can come.
Now, tell me about a couple of the presenters who made a real impression on you. Like, who were you impressed with?
You know, I could give you like presentations that I was impressed with and people that I'm impressed with. You know, the people that I know who get the results are generally the people I'm the most impressed with. I know we were talking before the show and you thought, you know, maybe some of the people, their thing, you know, whatever their style wouldn't jive with you or whatever, but.
Well, it wasn't with me. I mean, again, my impression of some of these guys was that I think they're successful with women because they're kind of like a stand-up comic. I didn't think some of their information was as transferable as someone like Alex because I think what it really came down to was they were like an outrageous-looking person with some kind of wild accent who did a bunch of crazy stuff. And it's kind of hard to mimic that, you know, whereas I felt like the information, like, for example, one of the things that resonated, like I said, with Alex was he said, don't try to learn all this stuff at once. Pick one thing and get good at it. Mm-hmm. You know, to me, that's like useful information.
Sure. Yeah, I definitely think that some of the speakers could have brought more useful information. A lot of the guys really like the more outrageous guys. I think, you know, people have their own stage presence that's different from what they are in real life. One thing I heard Adam actually say, who these guys work with, was he's like, this is not what I'm like in real life. This is me on a stage. It's not how I talk to women. This is, you know, to make an entertaining presentation for you guys because you're sitting in an audience and you have to listen to me talk for an hour and a half.
Yeah, but see, to me, that's not necessarily effective. I mean, elements of it are, but if you're going to be coming off a certain way, that's kind of what I think people are going to anticipate their approach is going to be sometimes. And I don't know that that's really transferable, as I say.
I don't think you should. If there's any lesson to learn from that, it's that I don't think you should assume that, and I don't think the way you see a guy talk to another guy or the way you see a guy in a business meeting is the way he's going to be with women. I mean, when you see a guy with women, very different than how they talk or communicate with anybody else in any other situation. A lot of times I'll meet these guys and I'll be like, man, this guy, he doesn't seem that cool. He doesn't seem that interesting. And, you know, everybody's like, nah, but he's good with women. And I'm like, I don't know if I believe it. He just doesn't seem like that cool of a guy. Then when you actually see him in action, you're like, wow, I guess he really is. So I feel like, you know, some people can be good at different interactions. You know, some people might be good at sales. Some people might be good at business interactions. Some people might be good at presenting. Some people might be really good with a group of people, sort of like life of the party guy. And then other people might be sort of like a silent Casanova type where, you know, just seems like a normal, quiet guy. And the next thing you know, he's like sneaking out with the hottest girl there. And everybody's like, how does this guy do it? You know?
Huh. Okay, now... the economy has obviously been difficult for a lot of people in a lot of ways. How do you guys feel that that's affected your business? Because you're all fairly new at doing this. This isn't something you've done for 20 years, obviously. So you've kind of broken into this under the current kind of economic pull, if you will. So how do you feel about that? How's it affecting you?
I can only speak for PUA training, but I know our seminars have never been so busy, and I think it's interesting. You know, they say health, wealth, and relationships are the three biggest industries, and we are one of a few competitors in such a big marketplace, I suppose you could say, and we charge so little that it allows us to stay competitive.
Now, what do you think sets you off from the competition? Like, what's different about you guys?
To put it in one word or one sentence, we are normal. A lot of the other people in our industry, as you noticed at the seminar, are a bit out there. And I think our whole team, I think that's why we get along so well, is we're all normal guys. Almost all of us have a day job, so this is something we do in addition to that. And I think that's something people can really relate to, because they're like, oh, this guy's normal just like me. He doesn't have crazy pink hair like the guy who just spoke before.
Yeah, you have almost like a personal trainer-like way about you. You're very upbeat and positive and stuff.
Oh,
that's what I do. And so I know. I've been to some of those conferences as well. But those girls will beat you up if you try any other stuff. So.
Yeah.
So, Craig, you had to put this conference together. Now, you did it last year. Obviously, the situation wasn't that much different. But what's it like trying to do this when the economy is so unfavorable? Is it hard to get people to show out the money for it? Is it hard to get a space? What's the deal with this?
I actually agree with Alex. You know how he said it's one of those big, big niches. A lot of people say that relationships and dating and that sort of thing is, you know, it's recession-proof. And
because I guess if the economy is bad, you have to meet someone with money, basically.
Yeah, I don't totally know the science behind it either about why it is. I know how they say, you know, candy and liquor.
I'm losing my job. I want a rich girl, basically.
That's one approach.
So, okay. So, and Sebastian, what's your feeling about that? Is this, you know, is this creating big problems for you guys, or do you feel like your partner that it's not really an issue?
Specifically, the economy.
Yeah.
You know what? Like, I haven't been in this long enough to see what it's like without the economic pressures that are on us right now. I have to say, when it comes to being with women and getting this part of your life handled, I feel like most men that we meet, like, they want to take care of it. Like, money is not the main issue. It's getting this handled as quickly as possible. So I mean, people are willing to put the money down if it means getting their success with women downright.
And if you're not doing so well anyway, then not doing so well and not having any dates doesn't really make your life any better. So.
Exactly.
And if this doesn't work and you blow all your money, you wouldn't meet any women anyway. So it doesn't matter that you don't have any money to take them out, right?
Well, if you had our skills, maybe.
Yes. But then you could be screwed. You spent all the money getting the skills. Now you have no money. Now you need a rich woman.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, we're actually going to go to another commercial break. And when we come back, I want to talk somewhat about body language. Because that's something that's always interested me. And I want to get you guys' take on it and maybe get a helpful tip, which I'm sure will transcend very well over the radio. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Centanni Broadcasting Network.
High definition digital stereo.
Broadcasting to the world.
When somebody loves you, it's no good unless he loves you.
Always. Hello, Centani listeners. This is Christina Fontanelli, and I want to invite you to two of my exciting upcoming performances in New York City. I will make my fifth annual appearance at Fine Signs at the Regency Hotel on Monday, October 17, showtime 8:30 p.m. For reservations, call 212-339-4095, and on Sunday, November 27 at 3 p.m., please join me for my much-loved 8th annual Christmas in Italy show at the Danny Kaye Playhouse at Hunter College on East 68th Street between Park and Lex. Call the box office 212-772-4448 for tickets. Also, be sure to catch me as PBS host of Andrea Bocelli's historic Central Park concert, which was filmed in September and airing on your local PBS station beginning of December. More information, www.christinafontanelli.com. Ciao and grazie.
Would you like to know what's going on in the Italian-American community and stay in touch, even if you don't live in Little Italy? There's a way to do it. There's a great newspaper out called GIA, the Giornale Italo-Americano. This newspaper is distributed nationally and comes out weekly, and you can subscribe by going to their website at www.giamondo.com, that's G-I-A-M-O-N-D-O.com, or call 718-592-2196. Check out GIA for all your information on what's happening in the Italian American community. It's published in both Italian and English. It's a great way to read and follow up and practice your Italian as well. Check out GIA on the internet at www.giamondo.com. GIA newspaper, the Italian American newspaper for today.
Okay, we're back. Now, I've always had an interest in body language, and there was a famous book back in the early days of this kind of stuff, when you think about it, called Body Language, like 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you guys think? Like, how important is that, and what can people do to improve their body language?
That's a question we get from every student we've ever had. This has become such a popular topic, it blows my mind, because I'm actually... I'm on the opposite side of the fence of most instructors. Body language, if you get it right, even if you're perfect, it has no advantage. But if you do it incorrectly, you will lose every single time. You will not get the girl. Your game will be, she'll know what's up. So if I was to give just one tip, and it really doesn't get any more complicated than this, match head heights. If a girl's sitting, sit. If she's standing, stand. Otherwise, it's going to be awkward. Your neck will start to hurt, and it won't lead to anything.
Huh, that's an interesting. Okay, so what about you, Sebastian? Someone just wrote in, you have an interesting body. I don't really understand what that means, but I don't know who she's addressing either, but thank you
we
for all of us.
We can give you some good ideas of what to text back.
Yes. So, Sebastian, what do you think?
I think this is something that gets blown way out of proportion. Like, so many people concentrated on it so much so fast. Really, to me, it always seemed like if in general you're matching and mirroring the woman's body language towards yours. So in other words, if she's giving you a lot of attention and she's, you know, facing you and giving you a lot of interest body-wise, give that back. If she's not and she's sort of like, you know, closed off to you, match that too. I think the biggest problem that men have is when they approach, it looks so much like an approach. And that has to do with just giving too much interest from your body too quickly. If you sort of like are from the side or not like so directly facing her that it makes it like an aggressive approach.
You're coming at her from the side like a crab, basically.
Exactly. The crab-like approach is one of the ones that we recommend most highly.
I actually prefer the sea turtle approach.
The sea turtle approach,
that's
right?
That's much more effective.
Or the blossoming sunburst where you come up from the ground. No, but like if you just gradually give your interest, if you were to think of your chest as like you know the Care Bears, Do you ever see the Care Bears when you were a kid?
I don't play with Care Bears.
You don't play with Care Bears, but at some point you've seen a Care Bear, right?
I don't want that getting around.
Okay, fair enough. I won't tell them about your Care Bears collection, I promise.
Put those away, Betty.
But if you had your Care Bear Care centers on your chest, right?
Okay.
You don't want to care too much and give them all of your Care Bear stare, because if you give away all your Care Bear stare too early, you give away the game.
Okay. Now, Craig, you have a quick tip for us? What do you think?
I totally, want to piggyback off of what Sebastian said. I mean, I couldn't agree more. I was with a couple guys this weekend who needed some help, and I just feel like when they went over to talk to a girl, before they even opened their mouth, I was like, I can like read the story in my mind of exactly what's going on here. And the story is, I'm coming over to talk to you. I'm going to be here a while, and we're going to have a conversation. And, they don't know anything about him. He doesn't know anything about them. And the story in my head is, I'm just going over to say something really quick. For me, it's usually a compliment or something like that. And then I'm out of here. It's almost like, I just had to say, I love your eyes, your dress, and that's it. You're just saying it as a passing remark, and then something catches your attention, and then something more catches your attention, and then you're wrapped into this conversation, and she wrapped you in. It's not, you never intended for that to happen. That's like a much better story than, I'm coming over here, we're going to have a conversation right now. Who knows when it's going to end.
That might be better than my Care Bear analogy, actually. That might have been a better way to put it.
You've got to be a good actor for that, though. And you've got to, a big part. How do people de-stress? Like, a lot of guys, most guys, tense up when they're making an approach. What do you do to avoid that, would you say?
That is by far the biggest problem.
You could picture them in their underwear, they say, for a speech, but that's going to make me more tense.
I've seen everyone, and I mean the best. Some guys who are the best with women I've ever met still get horrified at approaching a woman. Very, very successful businessmen, everyone. To deal with that is one of the harder parts of the job, actually, because it's fighting the guy's psyche, ego, whatever you want to call it. If it's really bad, my favorite thing is to leave, get a piece of pizza, hang out, and then come back. I try and remind everyone, my number one rule is have fun. If you're having fun, life's a lot easier. Anyone, once they're stressed, they're not going to perform as well.
If every time I got stressed, I went and got a slice of pizza, I'd be really fat and meet no one.
At least it'd be a good day.
That's true. Okay. Now, what about dress? Like, can you give us some tips on... Oh, so apparently Sebastian is the dress expert.
A big thing with this is, like, I feel like the most important thing is dressing to fit your personality. But one of the things that we get are these questions about fashion on our boot camps and in our classes. And it's really about, like, a lot of it is more about discovering kind of who you are and what the type of girl you want to attract is, and like who you are in your life, and then dressing like that person would dress if they were going to really make an impact and show that really quickly. So like the way I dress shows a lot about about who I am, and like that's what I'm trying to bring across to someone, is like, this is the type of person I am, and this is the type of person that I'm looking to meet. If you know that, if you can get in touch enough with yourself to know sort of what you want and what you're looking for, the fashion sort of comes with that.
Now, I tend to wear a lot of polo shirts, jeans. Now is it good that that's my look, or is it too much of the same? Should I be varying that more?
I'm looking at you now. I think you look sharp. Especially you're I guess you guys can't see, but you actually have clothes that fit. This is such a huge item on our boot camp. Guys come in with these shirts that are three sizes too big. If there's anything, clothes that don't fit just show that you don't you're not paying attention to sort of your style in general. You have a polo shirt on, which looks like you're just kind of casual hanging out, but it looks nice and it's fitted, and I can see that you got a good physique.
Tucked or untucked?
Untucked. It's just too conservative to tuck.
It took me a long time to break out of tucking. No, I remember tucking. I went to Cancun with two guys, and we were in a club with 2,000 people in it, and I was the only person with his shirt tucked in.
Yeah,
I noticed that at one point.
Yeah. I would have, had I known you then, I would have just, like, walked up to you, untucked your shirt, and then gone away, just to make sure.
Guys do that to me a lot, but that's because we do the show in the West Village.
Might be a little.
Yeah.
I was going to say they might be trying to say hello.
Your game a little more.
Yeah. So, okay. So, Craig, you have any opinion on the whole, you want to chime in on the dress issue?
No, I think Sebastian nailed it. I mean, the clothes not fitting is the biggest thing, and I think that just communicates, like he said, that either you don't care or you just have no idea what's going on. And when you do dress well, I think it, you know, it says a lot of things about you, like you're not afraid to stand out from other people. You have an opinion about things. You care. It only says positive things to me.
And for those of you who don't know, Craig has the sexiest floral and rainbow shirt, and I've never seen him not get approached when he wears this.
We are in the West Village. I think these two guys are bonding.
That's,
so
that's why I didn't.
That's okay.
That's why I didn't wear
it's
it.
Not a bad thing.
No, good choice.
Okay, now when you're heading out for the night, how I've heard varying opinions on this. How good or bad is it to have a couple of drinks when you're doing this stuff?
Oh, I actually have an opinion that evolved over the years. In the beginning, I was like, okay. Well, in the beginning, I could only get girls if I was incredibly, incredibly drunk. And I was like, this can't be good for me or for them. Then I went to the exact opposite. No drinking. Now I'm on the belief that do not drink until you meet a girl. Your ability to speak to them will decrease with every drink you have. But once you meet a girl, the two of you can drink together because everyone knows what usually happens after that. But not until you're with her.
Should I give her more drinks than I'm having?
I'm not going to answer that.
No.
Your lawyer is shaking his head.
My lawyer is, yeah.
It's called puking.
Oh, I wasn't even thinking of that. You know where Betty's head is at. Okay. So, now, on average, what percentage of approaches would you guys say you are successful? I guess that, you know, it varies when a guy's just getting started or when he's good, but when a guy kind of gets it down, what would you say is a good percentage?
This is actually a really difficult question to answer. I know other companies say different things than we do. I think, like, there are varying levels of skill. Someone who is really, really, really good, I'd say 80%. You know, 8-9 times out of 10, you should be able to go in, have a friendly conversation, and make friends at a minimum. I would consider that a success. I know other companies teach 3 out of 10 times, which is, I think, a little ridiculous. But when I say this, I'm talking, you know, years of practice to be able to do that. This is a very hard thing. There are so many variables out of our control. Building that social intelligence, building the ability to connect with someone, it does take time.
Like, okay, so now you're talking about 8 out of 10 approaches. Now, how many approaches do these guys make in a night?
Ah, well, if they're working with me, I try and make it as many as possible.
What would you say is an average?
Could be, right, if they meet their perfect girl and things go well from the first one, only one, and that's ideal. But if things don't work, we'll go, I would imagine, easily up to 100 if things aren't working.
100 in a night.
You know, you go in, you make a mistake, we fix it. You go in again, you make the next mistake, we fix that. So it's.
I have a bad memory. I'm going to go to the same girl again.
That happens. That's all right, as long as you don't make the same mistake twice. But there.
Okay. So, Craig, what do you think? Like, what percentage would you consider to be effective? Because I went out with you once and you spoke to 3 women and all 3 of them worked out well. I mean, you know, I don't know how far it went, but it worked out to be an extended conversation. It seemed to go good. I saw some you know, physical and mild physical interaction happening.
Yeah, I've been doing it a long time and I feel like it goes in waves. You know, I would say with you it was a good night, but there's nights where I go out and nobody will talk to me and I'll just be, you know, now I know, I guess it's just one of those nights. Probably 5 years ago I would have been like, my life is falling apart and... you know, everybody hates me.
So success has led you to just breeds more success, I guess, basically. So you're not concerned with your failures when you know that there's successes that you will have.
I've gained like a more grounded, level-headedness about, you know, there are ups and downs. But I agree with the stats Alex gave. I think somebody who's good is going to get, you know, 8 out of 10, 7 out of 10. 5 out of 10 is a great thing to aim for. 50% is great.
So 50% is good. Kind of like field goal percentage. You're better than a baseball player, worse than foul shots, but kind of your basic field goal percentage. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to equate this to sports somehow.
Sure, yeah.
Okay. As you could tell, I watch too much sports, and as a result, don't meet enough women. But okay, we're going to go to a commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Mm-hmm. If you love jazz, check out These Things We Dig, new CD by jazz sax, flute, and clarinet recording artist James Aldean on Sexton Records. James Aldean has recorded 7 CDs for Sexton Records and appears regularly in the New York metropolitan area, including the great venue, the Whiskey Cafe. These Things We Dig features some of the best jazz and bebop styles, with James fronting the band, complemented by such great players as Mike Fonella, Phil Jones, Bob DeBenedette, Ron Nasbo, and Wayne Dunton. You can get this new CD from Sexton Records by going to www.sexton.com. That's C-E-X-T-O-N.com. You can find out more about James Aldean at www.jldeanorchestra.com. For the best in jazz, it's Sexton Records, the audiophile jazz record label. Sexton.com.
My name is Jerry Barnes, and you're listening to the song Absence by the group The Virgin and Mary. This song is available at iTunes and CD Baby. Enjoy!
Okay, we're back, and someone just texted in that when I went out with Craig, because of me, he had a good night. I like my audience, and I have to say I accept no responsibility, but anyway, so now, do you guys think that that a clever opening line is the way to go? I mean, there's so many routines and stuff in these books. Are they of any real use, or what do you think?
I'd say it definitely helps. It's not necessary. As a matter of fact, you can go in and say the most ridiculous thing in the world, and it can still work out. But there have been times where I've used a particularly good compliment based on the girl, based on the situation, based on her. And when we went on a date, she's like, I actually told my friends what you said. It was that good. Now, mind you, this, even with me, does not happen frequently. This is a very rare thing.
Okay, now, give us an example of a good opening approach, something that we can use. What's a good thing to say?
We got
Betty over here to the right of us. We've got a girl here, so what would we say to her?
Favorite and go-to, and if I was to have a line, I guess this would be the only one, saying simply, hey, you seem really friendly, so I just thought I'd introduce myself. It's completely, low-key, very normal. Who's going to say, oh, I'm not friendly, I don't want to talk to you? It's very normal, which is what I aim for.
Now, what do you follow that up with?
Thank you.
That's the most important thing. I'm a big believer in people are only interested in themselves, so you need to transition the conversation quickly to a topic she's interested in. So the best way to do that is to find out a simple fact about her, you know, where is she from, what does she do for fun, and then from there you can start to sculpt the conversation and direct it in ways to build a connection.
I think this was you who said this too, that I thought was interesting at the conference. You were saying, if a girl says, you know, I like Italian food, you said, don't say, I hate Italian food, I never eat that, and it just shuts off the conversation. Right?
You can completely disagree. That's completely fine. Everyone says just be yourself, and that's great advice. Once it's defined, and that means agree with what you agree and disagree with what you disagree. It's just, if you're going to disagree on that, don't argue it. You know, no one wins an argument, the saying goes. And it'd be better to get onto a different topic, something you have in common, because friends, if you look at all your friends, tend to have many things in common.
Now, Sebastian, you give us a good opener. Like, what's your approach to a lady?
To be honest, my thing with openers is whatever feels spontaneous and feels right in the moment is normally what I go with. What I always suggest to guys is if wherever you are, whenever it is, just look around and observe what's going on in the environment. And almost anything that's either going on with her or like in that space is going to be something good to open off of. So if something...
Wait, let's look around this room. Here we are. What would you say to Betty over here if you like wanted to say something?
Take a quick look. To be honest, the first thing that comes to mind if she was eating here would be you know, like whatever she was eating, see if it looked good, and get some recommendations for.
So you would just like walk over to a woman at a table, let's say, and say, "Hey, I like what you're eating."
Well, I haven't tasted it yet, but
I like the way what you're eating looks. That looks good.
You know, I've never been here before. What's good on the menu?
Oh, okay, that's good.
Anything as small as that can be a conversation starter. Like Alex said, it's really not where you go first; it's where you end up with the conversation. As long as you're looking into her interests and calibrating towards the moment.
All right, before we go any farther, I want to make sure everybody gets their plugs in. Like, how do people get in touch with you guys if they want to PUA up?
PUATraining.com. That's our company website, and I can personally be reached at Alexander@PUATraining.com.
That's easy. What if they want to get a hold of you, Sebastian?
My email is sax@PUATraining.com. The PUA Training website is a great way to get in touch with any of us.
Now, Craig, what do we have coming up? Do you have any more events on the horizon?
Yeah, we got the Gotham Dating Club, which is the name of the group that I run that has all the events, has an event this Sunday. A really great guy from New York City is going to be talking. He only comes once a year. I think he's great. He's one of the guys that I learned a lot of stuff that I know from, and I'd highly recommend anybody who sounds interested in that to come to that. The website is GothamClubNYC.com.
Now, what's this guy's name?
His name's Justin Wayne.
Okay. Now, what products do you guys recommend? Like, do you guys put out books and videos, your company?
Yeah, we have a number of products, books, DVDs, all that fun stuff. Honestly, the thing I have to recommend most is very old school. It's over 70 years old. How to Win Friends and Influence People.
It's one of my favorite books.
It's incredible. People read it and seem to not put the advice to use, because if they did, they wouldn't be coming to us. It's incredible.
I don't sit there and make the lists and check them twice and stuff like he says either. But
honestly, as a company, we put out so much free stuff. If someone was interested in getting into game or learning more about this, I could easily suggest going to AFC Adams' YouTube channel. You can learn a lot from that. I don't know, we normally do this in the past, but if you were to email Amanda@PUATraining.com and ask for any of the free materials, we have a whole group of free stuff that can get you started.
I want free stuff.
Yeah, it's actually pretty cool. You really don't need to pay for anything.
Oh, good.
In this community.
Now, what do you guys feel about the 3-second rule that the guy Mystery used to put across? Do you have to, like, jump right in there or what?
I have two opinions on it. When I first go out to a bar, even though I've been doing this for ages, it's still a little nerve-wracking. You know, I've been sitting at work all day in front of a computer being antisocial, and then you're thrown into this mess. So right when I walk in, you know, if you're a football player, you're not going to go onto the field and start playing right away. You're going to stretch out, do some practice plays. So right when I walk in a bar, I'll follow that rule just to get warmed up, get a little bit limber. Then I'll start to use tact and strategy. I'll look at a situation, I'll be like, all right, there's 5 people at a table. There's no seat. Maybe now's not the best time to open.
Okay. What do you think, Sebastian? Do you have to, like, as soon as you see a girl, do you have to move right in, or can you hang back a while?
The thing for me has always been if you sort of make some sort of eye contact, or you get the feeling that she knows you want to approach her, you have to approach her almost immediately. But in general, like, when I go out, when Alex and I will go out, or I'll go out with any of my friends, if you put that crazy pressure on yourself to, like, immediately approach, you'll stress yourself out.
Because there is pressure in not approaching, though, as you say, because you don't do it, and then when do you do it? Then she looked at you already, and you didn't do anything, and...
If you always have it on your mind, and you know that it's something, like, if you go out to meet women, and... If you go out to meet women...
We're being raided, I think.
Yeah, kind of. I feel like the aliens are here.
Sirens are going off outside. For you folks listening in Poland, that's the sound of New York City, folks. Whoa, what's going on out here? Okay. An ambulance. A fire department ambulance. You got two for one. Okay.
I think the problem is when like stuff like the 3-second rule weighs on guys so much that they feel like they need to like go out and do something immediately. And doing this should be fun. Like, I always tell my guys, like, you guys like women. That's why you're doing this. Like, you guys like meeting women. You guys like talking to women. So, like, if you like doing it, do it. Don't put that crazy pressure on yourself where you feel like you have to do it in this insane time constraint.
Okay.
It's too high pressure.
You guys ever work with women, by the way?
Yeah, they're actually my favorite people to work with by far. If I could only work with women, I would take that.
So you train women to meet men, I assume? Is that what the story is?
Yeah, usually we train men to meet women. We train women to keep boyfriends and have give them the skills to make sure men treat them the right way.
Okay, one more time. Website?
PUATraining.com.
And GothamClubNYC.com. We have a seminar this Sunday, October 16th at 6:30.
Okay. That's tonight's show. Next week, we will be back with Halloween-related stuff. But for now, we're gone.
When it comes to providing guide dogs for people who are blind or visually impaired, one national organization is taking the lead. The Guide Dog Foundation breeds and trains Labradors and Golden Retrievers to help blind and visually impaired people increase their mobility and independence. The foundation provides transportation to its New York campus, the guide dog, a comprehensive training program, and a lifetime of aftercare services, all free of charge. The benefits to training with a guide dog at the Guide Dog Foundation in Smithtown, New York are many. Among them are small class sizes for personalized attention, a long history of excellence in dog breeding, and a highly skilled professional training staff. The foundation offers a comfortable environment and diverse training areas from country walks to city subways. If you or someone you know could benefit from the foundation's free services, call 800-548-4337.